She is the county executive of the great Nassau County, and by the way, running for re-election, I might add. Her name, of course, Laura Curran, in her usual spot here, final Tuesday of a month. It is great to have you. Great to have you here as you embark on another term. Can you believe it is almost upon? Was it 5 weeks from today? I think it's 5 weeks.
Yeah, right on the nose. 5 weeks from today. And I remember you and I first spoke during the 2017 campaign, and I cannot believe it's been 4 years, Jay. It seems like a blink of an eye.
Is it? I mean, obviously, I'm sure it is different, but, you know, you start, I think, in your particular spot here, trying to gain the office again, you kind of get a little more heat, right? A little more criticism. Many of it unwarranted, obviously, because, you know, people trying to make a headline or two. But in essence, that's kind of the difference, right? I mean, still business as usual, but, you know, it's kind of gamesmanship as you vie for the office again, right?
You know, and you're never done building trust with the residents. I feel that it's an ongoing, ever-evolving mission to run the government responsibly and then to communicate and to prove to people that you are truly a public servant. You are here for them. And you are asking them, you know, obviously the voters have a decision to make, and I trust them to make the right decision. I obviously think it's me, but not everyone's going to agree. So it is my hope that people remember that there actually is an election and get out and vote, because when you vote, that's when you have accountability. And I am working as hard as I can. I am out in all of our many beautiful communities, talking to people one-on-one, trying to communicate as much as possible through the press, and hoping to earn that trust, continue to earn the trust of the 1.3 million residents who make Nassau County.
And I think part of the idea of gaining the trust is the fact saying, you know, listen, from this rescue plan, I got a little surplus, so I'm going to give it back to the homeowners there, the $375. Now, I thought that was going to be voted on last night, and then it was tabled, correct? And is that going to come on Friday now?
So, yes, that is tabled for when the legislature meets again. I was very disappointed. I think $375 is a significant amount of money for, you know, the 400,000 households who would be eligible for it. I mean, think about what that can buy. Groceries, car payment, night out with the extended family, clothes for kids. And for it to be delayed, I think it doesn't make any sense. You know, our budget is balanced. We are in very good financial shape in Nassau County for the first time in decades, had our first bond upgrading in 15 years. We have extra money from the federal government for COVID recovery, so I want to push that out, get it out to people who can use it, and encourage them to spend it, you know, when this is finally done, to spend it in a local community, spend it in your local downtowns, local businesses. It's a boost for the entire economy. And to delay it at this point, it just makes absolutely no sense to me.
The elimination, it doesn't. I mean, now the only thing, I mean, was there approval? I mean, there was some back and forth. Well, we don't know if it's the legal thing to do. We've got to kind of check with the U.S. Treasury, in essence. Is that true? And did you get an okay in that regard, if true?
Yeah, absolutely. We did not rush this. I took my time. I directed my team. Let's take our time. Let's make sure this is correct. We had we vetted it. We've got a whole team looking at it constantly. And I am confident it is kosher. And I want to get it out as quickly as possible to get relief out there. You know, businesses are still suffering. Folks are still, you know, uneasy about what's going to happen with the economy, what's going to happen with their jobs. This could give a little bit of reassurance, a little bit of stability.
Yep. Also on the table last night, the elimination of fees, $100 million, real estate, traffic fees. Talk about that for a second.
Well, this is an interesting one. So these were fees that my predecessor, the previous county executive, had put in that this legislature, this majority, had approved. I actually voted against it when I was in the legislature. But here we are, fast forward 2 days before I submit my budget, you know, and you have to account for every penny of spending in the budget. What are you spending? How are you paying for it? 2 days before I submit my budget to the legislature, they have this approach. And so, of course, I'm looking at it very carefully. I want to make sure that if we do anything, it fits into a strategic multi-year plan. You know, it's these kind of right before the election gimmicks, I think, that's gotten Nassau County into chronic fiscal straits, chronically dire fiscal straits for decades. So anything that I do, it has to be part of a plan. It has to be responsible, and it has to make sure that it fits into a multi-year plan that doesn't leave our children on the hook, or, you know, future, you know, even not even just our children, just in 5 or 10 years, leaving us on the hook. So I'm taking a hard look at these. I'm seeing what's responsible, what's not. But I do feel the timing of it. If it was a great idea 2 days before the budget, why wasn't it a great idea months and months ago when we could have taken it into account?
And listen, it's all about trying to be fiscally responsible, no question. It's got to fit into the plan. And that's what you're trying to decipher at this point in time. Now, speaking of that, the budget coming out, and you decided, you know what, we can do it as far as cutting $70 million property taxes. And a lot of people, you know, listen, any cut is a cut, okay? Any cut is a cut. So in essence, how did you kind of come to that situation as far as being able to kind of lock that in?
So, you know, as I had mentioned, Nassau County has had chronic deficits. The year before I took office, 2017, when you and I first spoke, Nassau County ended with a deficit of about more than $120 million. So we flipped that. We now have turned that into a surplus of about that amount through fiscal discipline. We're actually working with the legislature in a bipartisan manner to refinance our debt at historically low rates. And managing our debt, managing our expenses, being disciplined, we are now in excellent shape. You know, as I said, first bond upgrading in 15 years. We've had budgetary surpluses for a few years now. And we're on sound financial ground. So we are actually in a position to return money to the taxpayers. So what I have proposed is $150 million tax decrease over the next 4 years. And again, we can do it responsibly. We can do it in a way that makes sense for our long-term financial health.
All righty. Listen, like I said, nobody's going to turn that away. You're cutting property taxes, whatever the dollar is per homeowner. I'm sure it's welcome at this point in time. Let's get to the COVID stuff, because I was reading where the island has the second highest number of cases now among students for any region in the state. This is during, of course, the initial weeks of school. You know, we've got the variant out there. We know the back and forth and everything else as far as the vaccinations and whatnot here, staff, administration. You know, it's about trying to keep everybody safe at this point in time, but the numbers are the numbers now.
The numbers are the numbers, but interestingly, yes, we are seeing each of our school districts has anywhere between low single digits to higher double digits cases. But the interesting trend for the last couple of days is cases are down, COVID hospitalizations and COVID ICU patients are all slightly down over the last few days. Let's see if that trend continues. That's very good news. The other good news is that in Nassau County, 92% of adults 18 and older have had at least one dose of the vaccine, which is wonderful news. We're number one in New York State of all 62 counties. We were number two in the country. We're now at number three in the country among large counties. And that's really helping. It's making a difference. So the schools are doing a great job of managing this. It's something that we have to get through. But I am optimistic that these preliminary numbers show this Delta variant is starting to go on the wane. Now, as we know with COVID, it is an unpredictable virus. But right now, things are actually looking good. And an interesting thing to keep in mind is we actually have fewer COVID patients in our hospitals in Nassau right now than we would have flu patients in a normal flu year. So that gives a little bit of perspective of where we are.
And, of course, you know, you got the mandate in play. Governor Hochul signing that executive order regarding our hospital workers and whatnot. Now, you know, you got a lot of protests. You got a lot of back and forth here. There is a high number of individuals who work in that arena that have been vaccinated. Nonetheless, there have been some terminations. Northwell, we know what's going on. And, you know, you got a little bit of a tug of war now happening. So you're dealing with the variant, the schools and everything else, the hospitalizations, as you stated it down. But here we go with another situation as far as voices to be heard here with the mandates. What's your feeling on all?
Yeah, so, you know, this vaccinate or terminate mandate for healthcare facilities, hospitals, certainly got my attention. So I had a conversation last week with our hospital executives, and, you know, I am confident that care will not be impacted, that things will continue going well, at least when it comes to patient care. But there are concerns, and I relayed those concerns to the governor's team. They heard me. They listened, but this was last week, but it was clear that they were very firm on this deadline. And we have actually activated our Nassau County Office of Emergency Management, our OEM, to help facilitate with communication for staffing and anything else that they may need. So we want to be helpful in any way that we can as they are working to implement this mandate. Even, you know, there's a shortage, there's a labor shortage across all sectors, and that includes the healthcare sector as well. So we're already starting with a bit of a shortage. Now with this mandate, you know, it'll be interesting to see what this means for our hospitals. But there is concern. I'm, you know, looking at our high vaccination rate, I'm actually concerned about those counties upstate that have a much lower vaccination rate and what will happen there. So we're all watching this carefully. I'm keeping in close communication with all the parties involved. And, you know, the county's going to step in and be helpful in any way that we can.
When you're dubbed the safest county, not only in the state, in the United States, I mean, that's a pretty good prize right there, right? And that's, by the way, is that the second year that's been done now?
And yeah,
what is the secret sauce in all of this, you think, as far as the numbers are concerned?
Yeah, so we just learned that U.S. News and World Report deemed Nassau County the safest community in America for the second year in a row. And I don't think there is a secret sauce. I think this does not happen by accident. We've got a wonderful police department, sheriff's department, medics, 911 operators, emergency management. We also have wonderful volunteer fire service and EMT service. It's a orchestra that all plays together. We also have residents that value public safety. And we do everything we can to build that trust with our residents, with our community. And we all have the shared goal. We want safe communities. We want economic development, which rely on safety. We want people to feel confident to come here, to go to our restaurants, send their kids to school, start a business. The bedrock of all of that is public safety. So I am incredibly proud of our police commissioner, Patrick Ryder, our sheriff, OEM, you know, all those leaders in key positions in the county and outside of the county. Remember, we've got 18 village police departments, 2 city police departments. We have departments of public safety with our towns. It really is a team effort and residents who value it. So I'm making sure that we're investing in public safety, that we're investing in the police. I'm actually increasing the headcount for the first time in more than 10 years. And I delivered on a campaign promise from 4 years ago to reopen those 2 precincts, police precincts that were closed by the previous administration. And we are also about to cut the ribbon on a brand new police academy, a training and intelligence center to make sure that our law enforcement and our public safety folks have a wonderful place to train with the latest technology. So it's smart investment, it's a lot of partnership, and a lot of community building.
No question. And speaking of enforcement, listen, doesn't hurt to get a couple of key endorsements, right, from some of the police unions out there. Are you a big endorsement gal? Do you notice stuff like that? How important do you think that is to you down the stretch here?
You know, I really do value endorsements because it comes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. It's about trust. If people are willing to back me and back my campaign, that means that we have built trust. And these are, you know, some of these endorsements are ones that I did not get 4 years ago from the detectives union and the superior officers. And the fact that we've been able to work together, to build a relationship, to work through some difficult issues, makes me very grateful. And I don't take these endorsements for granted because I know that it's about trust.
It always comes down to that, right? You get the trust of the residents and everything else. You get trust of some unions, big unions here. That says a lot. What a, the situation as far as Ida was concerned? We know it did a lot of damage, and I thought you put out a pretty good announcement by having the residents really survey their damage properly so that they can report. Very important with the declaration, disaster, and everything else, getting dollars. It's important that people document their own property lines here, correct?
Yeah, so that documentation, we needed residents to get in touch with our Office of Urgency Management and tell us what kind of damage they had. When we reached a certain threshold in number of dollars, then we were eligible. Our residents and businesses were eligible for FEMA help, assistance, reimbursement. So I went to the village of Great Neck, where there was never flooding on some of these blocks that I visited. The folks who lived in these houses said it was like the Titanic, the water just rushing in, 3 feet of water in the living room within minutes. I visited Manor Haven, where there was a mudslide. I mean, whoever's heard of mudslides in Nassau County? This guy, Michael, I met, his entire basement was just encased in mud. He lived at the bottom of a hill. That's something that he's got to deal with. So the fact that, you know, FEMA, they've opened an office in New Hyde Park and gives people a chance to get some help. And, but, you know, that also points to the issue of climate change. The climate is changing on Long Island. We saw an unprecedented, and I know that's a word that's bandied about a lot these days, but an unprecedented rainfall with Ira. More rain in 1 hour than we had ever gotten in 1 hour since we started keeping records in 1941. So we're looking at the infrastructure. We're doing what we can to protect our marshland, which protects against storm surge. And we want to make sure that we're hardening the infrastructure so it can withstand these changes in our climate.
Yep, no question. Laura Curran with us. A couple of minutes remain. How is the, and I know your plan was to hire with 20-some-odd new hires as far as police body cam program. How has that been going along?
So yesterday, the 27th, was the implementation day. It went smoothly. We're starting with two of our precincts. So, you know, we had some supply chain issues like everyone else, but it's up, it's running, it's going. There's a lot more work to do, but it's been a really great rollout for the first day. I don't want to jinx it. There's a lot more work to do, but we're on pace to finish by the end of the year as we committed.
Very important stuff. And listen, it's about keeping everybody in check here. No question about it. And listen,
again, it's about trust. Again, it's another. It always, you boil it all down, it comes down to trust again.
Yeah, that's what it certainly comes down to. How did the marathon go for yourselves over there at Eisenhower?
Oh, that was a lot of fun. We had 3 days. You could actually run the 5K one day, the 10K the next day, and the marathon the third day if you were really a super athlete. It was great. We had food trucks. We had live music. It was a real kind of festival atmosphere. So. And it brings everyone together. You know, people from across the country come, from across the region come. Good boost to our local economy as well.
Yep. You know, flipping the channels the other day, I forgot my New York Islanders started their preseason. I beat the Rangers, I might add, Sunday.
They spanked
4-0.
Yeah.
I had our
pretty
pal
good.
Rich Heumann on yesterday from H2M. He said it's going along accordingly. The UBS sure wish they could start the season, but I understand it. Isles will be on the road for 13, I believe, straight road games when its season kicks off on the 14th of next month. First home game, I believe, is November the 20th. Are you okay with everything that's been happening there as far as the progression of UBS?
Oh, I'm better than okay. I've been really impressed. This team has kept it on track, on time, even despite the hiccup from COVID. So 13 games on the road, Islanders fans, please send your positive vibes. The fact that they really, you know, trounced the Rangers on Rangers home ice in the first, you know, I know it's preseason, that was a good sign. So let's just keep the momentum going. We've got a really, really strong team in a brand new arena, and I am super, super stoked. I'm a season ticket holder in the new arena, and I'm really looking forward to cheering on our boys.
And keep an eye on this Zach Parise, another one of those Lamorello finds. You know, nothing wrong with going back to the old New Jersey Devil days, okay? And grabbing a few players from yesteryear. Now, Zach has had a great career at Devils, went to Minnesota. Now he is with the Islanders. That's a guy you got to keep an eye on. I have a feeling, you know, everybody says, well, we need a little more scoring. Well, guess what? Captain Lou put in tremendous fashion, a pretty good winger there. So now you've got some, you know, you got some. I always like some of the new additions, but I mean, seriously, who's better than Lou Lamoriello? Is there anyone? I don't know.
Who's better than Lou? I don't know. I don't know anyone.
Good stuff there.
And a little more short term. We have on Saturday our very first fall music festivals. It's a day long festival in Eisenhower Park with a Grateful Dead tribute band called Half Step, Desert Highway Eagles, and a country band and food trucks. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm praying for good weather and everyone to come out and enjoy.
Listen, keep up the great work. We look forward to talking with you in October and even closer to the big day as we get to November. But keep up the fine, fine stuff that we're reading about in Nassau.
Thank you. I'll always do my best. And thank you for your attention, and good morning to all of your listeners.